Welcome to Goals Question Time, where I interview leading executives driving innovation, venturing, and strategic change.
Welcome to Goals Question Time, and today I've got the pleasure of speaking with Nick Lyth from Green Angel Syndicate. Hi, Nick.
Hello, Andrew.
Great to have you. I know you're very passionate. I'm very passionate about climate change, how we address that, the issues around our environment, and also supporting businesses and startups, as many people will know from my previous podcast in this area. So I'm really pleased to have you on to talk about Green Angel Syndicate and what's happening in this sort of climate change investment space. So good to have you.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
So great. Would you like to kick off with a bit of a personal introduction to yourself?
Yes, certainly. I'm a marketing and sales specialist. The first 15 years of my working life was spent in London advertising as a salesman for big London agencies on mainstream consumer brands, promoting the very consumption of which we're now trying to suppress. So I did 15 years of that. I then, by way of jumping to the client side and being hired as the head of marketing at one of my clients, I did that for a few years before setting up my own consultancy. In between times, I'd moved from London, and in fact, the client was based in Scotland, and I'd moved to Edinburgh. And so I set up my own strategic marketing and sales consultancy in Scotland, which meant that I worked for some interesting clients who were very much more business-to-business than consumer-based businesses. And that was very interesting indeed. Through very peculiar circumstances, in the late 90s, early noughties, I was the architect, I was in my paid role as a marketing sales consultant, of a new applied research institute based in Dundee, which was studying resource use technologies, particularly energy, so renewable energy technologies, agriculture, food and agriculture, water, a lot based on water, in the early days of electric vehicles, and of course, waste and recycling. And that actually took me over. I hadn't planned this at all, but I became the managing director of an applied research institute, which was doing a lot of projects looking at new technologies that were designed to make our use of resources more sustainable. And that really took off, particularly when climate change came to the top of the agenda in 2006-07 because of Al Gore and the Stern Report.
Right, yeah.
And it took me over, and I spent some years looking at applied research projects which developed technologies which then went nowhere because they were predominantly public sector partnerships that were researching them, and they didn't know what to do with them. But I did. I knew about angel investment, and I spotted an opportunity to set something up which would exploit these technologies which were otherwise going to waste. And so I spent the noughties really running an applied research institute, which was a change of direction, frequently being introduced at conferences as Professor Lyth, which meant I had to start by saying, look, I'm terribly sorry. Not only am I not a professor, I'm not an academic at all.
Right, yeah.
I then set up a new angel investment syndicate as the means of exploiting the technologies, and as an experiment to see how it went. And so really, in the last 10 years, I moved from running the institute to realizing the syndicate was a very exciting opportunity.
I'm
concentrating on that.
Yeah. No, there's some interesting parallels with me in that there. You mentioned sort of Al Gore. He was speaking at a corporate venturing event in the mid sort of noughties and that as well. And bless him, he was so fantastic. My daughter, who was 9, 10 at the time, she had done a school project after watching Inconvenient Sort of Truth. And she came into the conference with her project, and he took time with her and took time with us, and he took time with the people at the conference, actually. You know, he was there promoting and driving, you know, this stuff that is now everywhere, but you know, it was ahead of his time, and that wasn't he? Or certainly there at
Oh,
the cusp of it. And
he was wonderful. I mean, the president never was, which is a true tragedy. But he set up the Senate Committee on Climate Change in 1980. We're talking 40 years ago. He was on the case. He really knew what he was talking. He knows what he's talking about.
So look, we've got that passion that there. You've started your little sort of angel group. So, give people an introduction now to what Green Angel Syndicate is sort of now, or how it's got to where it's got to.
Well, it is now the only angel investment syndicate in the UK specializing in the fight against climate change. It is moving into fund management, as was always the intention once I decided to take it seriously. I thought angel investment is incredibly necessary to support the grassroots innovation that has to happen if we are to beat climate change. But the bandwidth and capacity of the team involved to make a difference in the fight against climate change requires it to be able to make larger investments and larger still and larger still. So the intention is always to get into fund management, which we now have done at a very tiny level and are exploring developing further. And in the coming years, we hope to really make that count, expand that, to grow it so that there's a serious investment operation that is bringing its expertise in climate change to bring it to bear in developing the innovations that we need.
So to take a little step back to what's happening at the moment within the climates and environment, COP, and the measurements, and what we're trying to do as sort of societies. What's your take on, you know, the outcome of the recent COP sort of developments, and what governments are doing, or what society's doing more generally? What's your more broader sort of perspective on what's happening in climate change at the moment now? Frustrating.
I'm optimistic. It's very easy to be critical and pessimistic about what's going on. And I would heavily guard against any form of complacency. But I think unless we believe we can beat it, then we're lost before we start. We have, without a shadow of doubt, made a sequence of, let's call them mistakes. I mean, failures in judgment in the way we've dealt with it. And the consequence of those failures is that it's got worse since 1980 when Al Gore set up the Senate Committee. It is a whole lot worse in 2022 than it was in 1980. It would have cost a whole lot less to put it right had we really attacked the problem in 1980 than it is going to cost us now. But that said, I think it's in many ways enormously exciting. It's now commonly accepted and understood that we've got a real problem with climate change. It's commonly accepted and understood that the requirement to deal with it does involve a transition from a hydrocarbon-based global economy to a non-hydrocarbon-based global economy. It is commonly accepted and understood that this is a huge investment opportunity. And what I think makes it so exciting is what that presents us collectively with as a means to really try and invigorate that process, which in its turn will invigorate economic activity. And here we are in the midst of this huge economic crisis, huge in the UK, huge beyond the UK. And in many ways, that's the path forward. We have to travel it anyway, but in traveling it, we can start to help restore our economic, all the economic issues that are besetting us now.
I think you're striking me that I know Andrew Wordsworth at Sustainable Ventures really quite well, and I've had sort of discussions similar to this with him, and he sort of said, "Well, look, Andrew, no, I can't solve all of those things, but we can really help in particular ventures areas." And what Andrew's doing in Sustainable Ventures, I think, is good in the parallel to what you're doing with Green Angel Syndicate. So The thing I found as being a member of Green Angel Syndicate is, what was it, 300 odd members now, I think?
350.
Yeah. Who have got a depth and breadth of experience from all sorts of the major areas, oil, transport, construction, all these places that we've got to solve. And they're bringing their expertise and their money, but they're putting, as the dragons say, putting their children's inheritance into investing in these sort of areas. Could I ask you to give maybe give us a couple of examples of the ventures that Green Angels Syndicate has invested in? I don't want you to pick your favorite children. Just give us a couple of examples of
Okay, I will.
what would illustrate the process.
In setting the context, I would say that what we're always looking for is the granular innovations that are going to make a difference, in the belief that that's the reason to support startup companies, that they are developing the granular innovations. It's not the big grand infrastructure investments that are where you're putting your money as a kind of drop in the ocean in the development of an entire offshore wind farm. It's the granular investment changes, technology changes. So with that in mind, there are two that the two I'll give you two. We love Nature Metrics. I mean, it's very top of mind because COP15 in Montreal has just ended on biodiversity.
Yes.
Nature Metrics measures the DNA in any land mass and processes it through its own tailored software, which is where its IP really rests, and can give an immediate, accurate population profile of all the plant and animal life.
Yeah.
And that is extraordinary. I mean, but it's a very good example of what I'm talking about in terms of granular. We've been measuring plant and animal population at all sorts of different levels, ranging from the World Conservation Monitoring Centre, which is part of the UN, which measures biodiversity, right the way through to construction and development, the construction and development industry. And we've been doing that for years, decades, but we have to do it manually. And it takes a long time and is very expensive and is error-prone. This is a brilliant development which helps us to really fast-track it to understand what's happening. That's crucially important. So a second, I do love Qflow, which is a company which is measuring construction waste and the processing of construction waste, and recommending how to deal with construction waste. The construction sector in total is a disaster area, and that has been, for slightly cynical reasons, the UK government tried to regulate it in a way that it would be much less damaging in climate change terms back in 2014, 2015, some time ago. But they failed to enforce the regulations. And as a result, we are in a situation now where, for example, all the new build insulation standards since then have predominantly not met the standards required. And the people who are living in those houses are now, in this last week, in that terribly cold winter, they're spending much more on energy, which costs much more than they would have been if it had done right. So Qflow is another one. There's two.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. We'll put links in the descriptions and all that. People can look at the other sort of gas investment sort of side of things. So what I like about Green Angel Syndicate is the fact that when you send out to members, get the profiles, you get this sort of almost crowdsourced feedback from the members about everything from, yes, we think this is an area that you should be focusing on, to, yes, I'm an expert in this area and I'd like to help this sort of startup and with channels to market and sort of stuff like that. So could you give us a bit more of a sort of a description on that sort of the gas process? Because I think that's the thing that differentiates it from just an investment fund or an early stage EIS fund or something like that that's just investing in any startup that comes along.
Yes, I quite agree. It's the specialization that really makes it. And the specialization is helped by the narrow focus on specifically on climate change, where we require all deals that we look at to have the potential to reduce carbon emissions or remove carbon from the atmosphere. And if they don't do that, we don't look at them. So that, in a way, makes our specialist focus simpler because we're looking at such a narrow target. But the way we do it is exactly as you described. We've got 350 members. Angel investment is a discretionary process. It's not a managed process. And so all angels are investing on the basis of their own decisions. And legally, they are required to satisfy themselves that the businesses they're investing in are what they say they are. These are people, there are people in our midst, in the 350 members, who, as you said, really know what they're talking about. So we put the deals through a process whereby they see them from very early on. We're swamped with applications, so we filter quite a lot out before anybody sees them. But the ones that get through then go to the members like you, Andrew, and you know your knowledge and experience from your past working life is capable of looking at some of the deals with a really, really educated viewpoint. And so they then comment at that stage, and it's we only progress further with any given deal if they are starting to give it the thumbs up. And of course, what that means, this is an angel investment syndicate, what that means is subject to satisfactory due diligence, they will invest in them. And that is the question that they're asked. And if it's yes, then we move them a stage further and they can pitch to the full membership. And if the full membership are interested at a level where it's financially viable, we then put it into full due diligence. And once again, the people who really know what they're talking about are brought to bear to take it through the full due diligence, which we facilitate. Yeah. We don't influence or impose our own judgments. We discuss, of course, and indeed, at least half of the members, half of the staff team, which is now up to 18 people, are actually also investors. I'm including me.
And what sort of typical amounts get invested by the angels and numbers of angels? This is a rough sort of orders of magnitude, and it's probably difficult to even.
Well, in totality, we're now up to a kind of at the low end, we'll invest a minimum of around 200,000. At the high end, we'll invest 1.5 million.
Okay.
Per angel, the minimum investment per deal per angel is £5,000. But there is no maximum really. We have some people with very deep pockets who will put in 100,000-200,000 per deal. But there are plenty who put in 5,000 and they're very good members. And of course, the very interesting thing is that the quality that they bring in terms of knowledge, experience, and expertise to doing due diligence on the deals bears no relation whatever to the amount they invest.
So we have
some real experts who aren't particularly wealthy, or if they are very wealthy, they don't have the inclination to invest more than £5,000-10,000 per deal.
Yeah.
But they're incredibly important. And then we have some who will invest 50,000, 100,000 every time they go in, but who in fact are just following the real experts.
And the members can become advisors, board members, and stuff like that. That happens.
Well, yeah, very much so. Well, yeah, I mean that is hardwired in. We say to the companies that we will put somebody on the board, because we know the market you're in. We know what you're doing. We know why it's likely to work. And we have people who are capable of making a difference to the success or failure of your company.
Yeah.
We want them on your board, either as a director or as an observer. And so that is absolutely hardwired in. And that means that the person who is really most knowledgeable in the whole due diligence process tends to be the person we want to take on the role.
Yeah, and I think that's the point we were making earlier. It's that expertise, it's those connections, it's that depth of knowledge in helping to push the frontiers then of those things into being a benefit to the climate, not Definitely.
Absolutely. And Andrew, just to blow our trumpet, we say we're purpose-driven and that we don't want any of our companies to go bust, because if they do, then we've wasted time and money in the fight against climate change. And in fact, we've now got 33 companies in our portfolio, not one of which has gone bust. And if you compare that with other angel syndicates, which sometimes happens to me face to face when I'm at meetings with other managers of angel syndicates, and they talk about their failure rate, and somebody will turn to me and say, "What's your failure rate?" And I have to say, looking rather smug, zero.
Yet.
And a failure rate is not acceptable to us.
It's
acceptable to them. They're guessing about many of their deals. It's not acceptable to us. We're not.
Good. Now, my background, as people who listen to the podcast often will know, is back from corporate venturing. 20 plus years I've been involved with corporates on how technology is changing business models and that within their sectors. And, I'm helping Green Angel Syndicate now with your creating a fund in this area, because I believe that corporates, one, we've got to change those corporates to become more sustainable, and they're struggling now on technologies and new business models. And Green Angels is seeing all sorts of things happening in this sort of space, and worked with corporates to set their corporate venture units up, so bringing investment and bringing those partnership sort of type opportunities. And I think it's this interaction between startups and corporates, I think, is so valuable. So rather than a corporate just trying to go through all of these hundreds and thousands of different startups, they get involved too early, it kills their amount of time, and haven't got the expertise. So that's where the value of angels comes in, and that's where the value of early stage investment funds comes in. So explain a little bit about what GAS is trying to do in terms of creating a fund where you're bringing in financial and corporate investors.
Well, you have absolutely hit the nail on the head, Andrew. And there's one simple word to use to absolutely exemplify it: scaling. Here we are, as an angel syndicate, investing in startup companies that are developing innovations at, as I said earlier, granular levels. So we're not changing, nobody that we invest in is changing systems, they're changing components. And the components integrate with one another to eventually change the system.
Yeah.
Now, that's the way the Industrial Revolution worked. And Henry Ford invented a car that none of us would buy now. In the century or more since Henry Ford, over the years, different people have invented different things that do different things in cars. The window controls that are now all electric, the starter motor that is trend completely different. You had to get out and shove a rod into the front of the car, and when Henry Ford invented his, and turn the entire engine. The lighting, the heating system, ventilation, the suspension. And over 100 years, these changes took place. What we have to do is, in effect, create that same jump from innovative technology to fully functioning technology in less than 10 years, less than 5 years, less than a year. The only way we can do that is if the channels from startup to integration and scale are linked together. So the really clever, you said it, you just said precisely why we want to engage the corporates in developing our larger fund, because by getting the corporates into the fund as investors, they will be able to observe what's going on without it wasting their time in exactly the way you just described. And then when they see the things that are really going to make a difference, they can then open their doors so that it goes straight through. There are no barriers to uptake once we can see technology that actually works.
When we can't,
equally, they're in a perfect position to say, no, that doesn't quite work. That would, if we tried that, that would represent a cost and a risk. So let's not do it. Because that would only hold us back if we did it and it turned out wrong.
Yeah.
So it's a real positive benefit.
Building on your point there, Nick, there's a step ahead of it. There's a step further that organisations and investors and funds need to do, What I mean by that, and you've taken your example of Henry Ford and making the internal combustion car better, you know, we did those developments. To me now, though, and I've written a book around what I term innovative new value chains, that the business model and the value chain is changing considerably. So take the electric car, for example. You know, that's now different propulsion unit, different batteries. You've got to change your energy infrastructure to be a distributed energy infrastructure. You've got to have green energy. This is a whole system change. And that requires, I think, you need lots of things that are happening in Green Angel Syndicate and this climate bit. And you've got to put those together in different ways. And corporates can help that. And we can help corporates change the business model. And I think the corporates that are now going to be more that are going to be relevant around this sort of climate change thing is, you're in pharmaceuticals, you're in consumer products, you're in these different industry sectors, but they've now got to achieve net zero. They've now got to do their climate change thing. So it's not about just improving the product they currently had. They've now got to do circular economy. They've now got to change their business model to be a subscription model or something rather than that. So to me, I think, you know, there's one of the ventures in Green Angel Syndicate is returnable packaging one. You know, and I'm using that as examples with some of the cops. Guys, hey, you know, if you're in pharmaceutical, you've got to learn from this returnable packaging business. You've got to learn from this air bricks in construction, because you've got to apply it to your sector. So to me, I think there's a more fundamental change on the value chain and the system in society, which we've got to bring all these bits together. And it's going to require startups, it's going to require investors, and it's going to require corporates to do that drive. Is that...
You're really saying it all for me, Andrew. I wonder if you'd like a job as a salesman.
But you know, I think it's. But we've got lots of people. You know, we've got lots of people we come across who are passionate in those different ways.
Absolutely, and you absolutely said it. You said it eloquently, enormously more eloquently than I could. How that you absolutely described the relationship between the system and the requirement to change. And the requirement, how that it needs to be calibrated to achieve net zero, and that is across every sector. It is a huge, huge investment opportunity.
Yeah. Look, I think we've done a good amount of time. We've got very passionate about things. We're both sort of keen on, as we sort of said in the introduction. So I'd like to thank you very much for sharing your perspectives on this session, Nick.
Andrew, thank you very much for inviting me. I've enjoyed it hugely and I look forward to further chats.
Thank you.
Please give a 5-star like and subscribe to future podcasts.